as much as we used to. So it's been some time since we've been here, but just walking in the door has brought back a lot of wonderful memories of this place. I've been asked to minister God's word to you tonight, and I've also been told that I have to be done by 8 o'clock, and I will do my very best to do that. What we're going to be looking at tonight is something that I have to deal with every day, and that is, of course, dealing with my faith. So we're going to look at qualities of true faith. Do you have the qualities of true faith? I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to repeat it to yourself as we go through this. The question is this: is your will God's will? Or is God's will your will? Think about that just for a second. Is God's will my will? Keep that question before you as we go through and look at faith. It's interesting, in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, we find one thing that is God's will. So you're going to have to answer that question right from this verse. He tells us there, perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Do you have things lacking in your faith? You know, I do. I must confess. You know, these words, perfect that which is lacking in your faith, suggests it's a very profitable thing to inquire in those qualities which accompany a true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been singing a lot of marvelous songs tonight. They kind of thrill your heart. They really do if you know the Lord. And you know, it is a good thing to examine our faith to see whether it is really producing in it its intended result. There's just one word, verse I'm going to read from the scripture. I have all kinds I'm going to give you, but we don't have time to turn to all times of scripture if I have to be done by 8 o'clock. But I will give you those scriptures to know that I'm speaking from the Word of God. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, examine yourselves. That's right, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Test yourself. Now, these young people here are getting ready to go back to school, and they'll be tested. Some of us who are older here tonight say, well, you know, I shouldn't have to be tested anymore. I did that for years. Well, you're going to be tested tonight. God's Word tells us to test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Of course, he's speaking to believers there. Unless, indeed, you are disqualified. So we're going to have a test tonight. Sorry. We're going to be testing ourselves tonight. And of course, you don't have to reveal those answers out loud. You don't have to reveal them to anyone because, you see, you will answer those questions within your own heart. And the Lord will know what the real answer is. And those areas that we're looking at tonight are God's will for your life. So we're going to be looking at these qualities of faith. Now, I have 7 of those that I think really accompany true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at these 7 things, I want you to keep in mind our text. Perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And then, of course, the question, is God's will my will in relationship to what is being tested? Now, the first quality of true faith is this. According to Hebrews 4, verses 3 through 6, true faith in Christ is restful. True faith in Christ is restful. Yes. Always. I'm 75 years old now. That's old to a lot of you and young to some of you. Okay? But throughout my entire Christian life, the Lord has been testing me. And you know, he's testing me right now. You know, you were singing all these beautiful songs. Well, I can't sing them tonight. I used to sing them and bellow them out all the time, but I now have viral laryngitis. No big deal, other than I can't sing anymore. And I love to sing. I love to sing the Lord's praises, so I just kind of mumble, you know, because if I try to sing, well, then I won't have enough energy to speak. And of course, you might have been happy with that, but you know, that's what the Lord has called me to do, minister His word. So, you know, I'm being tested. I don't like the fact that I can't sing. I love to sing. But you know, all of you out there are being tested by God. Things that came into your life that you didn't really want, you never wanted to, you don't want to really accept it, but they're there. You have to. How are you going to deal with it? You see, testing our faith. Are you really resting in the Lord? You know, we read there in Hebrews chapter 4, we which have believed, which means have true faith, do rest or enter into rest. And as I thought about that, you know, although God has promised believers that we may enter His rest, some of us may fail to experience it. It tells us in verse 6, because of unbelief, lack of faith. See, instead of resting in the test that the Lord has put before me, I can wrestle with it. I can be upset about it. You know, but that's not resting. True faith in Christ is resting. You know, this divine promise, you know, in God's word still holds true today. The believer in the Lord Jesus Christ may enter into God's rest through faith. And of course, this faith is our, and we did this in our salvation. Remember the day you accepted the Lord? What did you really do? You rested in the finished work of Calvary's cross. You just totally rested in that. And the moment you did that, I didn't have to struggle to be saved, struggle to be right with God. I just rested in the finished work of Christ on the cross. And I rest in that. I have complete assurance that I'm going to be with the Lord someday. Not because of anything good about me. I'm resting in the Lord's work on my behalf. You see, all of us done that who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's also true in your walk with the Lord. Because, you know, we read in God's word that He who has begun a good work in you, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's when the Lord comes back. You know, once He saves us, He doesn't leave us just to flounder on our own. He's always there. We, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, should rest in the Lord. You know, in Colossians 2:6, it reinforces this. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, how did you do that? By resting in His atoning work. So walk or rest ye in Him. You see, you can rest in Him. And the question we have to bring before us, you know, we rest in the finished work of Christ to save us. We rest in the finished work of Christ to keep us. And I'm resting in the finished work of Christ to present me faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding great joy. Rest, true faith is resting in the Lord. How does you do on the first question on the test? Are you resting in the Lord in the circumstance you now are being tested in? The second aspect of faith is having the joy of the Lord in your life. True faith in Christ is joyful. Is the joy of the Lord evident in your life? You know, the best way to find an answer to that question is just talk to people around you. They will know if the joy of the Lord is in your life. You know, there's nothing worse than seeing one who knows the Lord with a long, sad face. Sad. We have so much to be joyful in. And being joyful in the Lord is so important. You know, Peter writes, with true faith or believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable or inexpressible and full of glory. And Nehemiah tells us why in chapter 8, verse 10, how important it is that the joy of the Lord is in our life. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, you take your eyes off the Lord, it's amazing how weak we become in the trials and the tests of life that the Lord brings us before us. It's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. The psalmist writes in Psalm 35, 9, "My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation." It was obvious the way you people were singing tonight. It was wonderful singing. That you are rejoicing in your salvation. You know, the next time you feel down, just think about the great salvation you have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will bring joy into your life. Yeah, we do all through trials and tests. The Lord testing us every day. But that's okay. He has a purpose in doing that. It has been said, how can faith in such a gracious, all-powerful, knowing, caring, loving, merciful, redeeming, risen, returning Savior be anything other than joyful? True faith in Christ is joyful. How are we dealing with that? Second part of the test. Only you can answer that before the Lord. Thirdly, true faith in Christ is hopeful. True faith in Christ is hopeful. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we read, "Faith is the substance," at least in the King James it says substance. It really carries the idea of assurance or being sure, expectation of things you really are hoping for. You know, faith gives reality and proof of things hoped for and unseen, treating them as though they were already objects of sight rather than hope. You know, the things that I hope for concerning the things of the Lord is not a hope so type of thing. I expect them to take place. You see, that's the type of thing that faith does for you. You live in expectation of what the Lord is going to do in your life. You know, is that how we see all of the promises of God? You know, we read in Scripture, all the promises of God are yea or yes and amen, so be it, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. All the promises of God. Do you really and live in expectation that all of His promises will be fulfilled in your life? Or are you just hoping they will be? We are to expect it. You see, true faith in Christ is hopeful. You know, faith and hope are not identical, but they are inseparable. You know, those who have hopeful faith in Christ see hope in every circumstance. They see hope in every trial. Why? Because they are sure and certain that God is in control of their lives, living in the expectation of the fulfillment of His promise. You know, the next time you feel sorry for yourself or a little discouraged, remember, God is at work in your life. You understand that? You know, even this little thing I've got, which is nothing major, is to me, but you know, it isn't a major problem. You know, can I live in expectation that He's in control of all this? Hopefully someday I will be able to sing loud again. People around me probably won't hope for that, but I will. But whatever your trial or test is in life, you understand that God is in control of your life. See, the person whose faith in Christ is hopeful lives in the expectation that God will fulfill every promise He has made, literally. And we live with that in view. Well, we have to move on because of time. We could spend a lot of time on all of these. The fourth thing that I listed here, true faith in Christ is loving. Loving. Paul writes to the church at Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, "Faith which worketh by or through love." We're getting down now to some real nitty-gritty types of things. He writes to the church at Ephesus in chapter 6, "Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith." The two go hand in hand. In 1 Thessalonians 3, 6, Paul rejoiced in the good news of their faith and love. Once again, the two going hand in hand. I think most of us are familiar with 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Now, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son, the propitiation for our sins. And then it goes on and says, in verse 10, well, if God so loved us that way, then we should love one another that way. How are we doing on this test? Loving one another. John 13:35, I have a paraphrase here. I'm not big on paraphrases, but this is one that I thought really summarized what the Lord said in a very simple way that all of us should be able to understand. And you'll recognize the verse from whatever version you're accustomed to reading it in. It's John 13:35. By this shall men and women know that you are disciples of mine. Remember, this is the Lord speaking. If you practice the love you see in me towards your brothers and sisters in Christ. I thought that was a pretty good paraphrase. I don't think it damaged the message at all. And what really spoke to me is if you practice the love you see in me. Now we know how much the Lord loves us. He's demonstrated that at Calvary, but in many, many other ways. He loved me. He loves me still. He will always love me, in spite of the type of person I am. And you know, when you think about how much the Lord loves us, loves me, well, that's the same type of love I'm to show to my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, at the home here, that's one of the marvelous things about Rest Haven Home. There are many here, the vast majority, who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, who've experienced the love of Christ in their life. Well, are you showing that same type of love to those who reside here with you? Because you know, we all stand in the need of love. Christ-like type of love. Yes, true faith in Christ is loving. And that leads us kind of into the fifth thing. True faith in Christ is practical. True faith in Christ is practical. In James chapter 2, verse 20, most of us are familiar with this verse. It says, faith without works is dead or useless. See, it's one thing to tell me you love me. It's another thing to show me that you love me. You know, talk is cheap. I'm sure you've heard that phrase. Oh, it's easy to say, oh, I love you. But you know, my actions will speak much louder than my words. And that's why James says, you know, faith that is without works is useless. Don't talk to me about your faith. Show her your love. Show me in your life. You see, true faith is practical. It's a living, productive trust in Christ. You live out the love of Christ that is within you. Remember, Jesus Christ is within you. His divine nature has been imparted to you, we read in Peter. You can love as Christ loved. Oh, not in yourself. But see, the love of Christ in you should be shed abroad in your life in practical ways to others. You know, the love of Christ within us and our love for Christ, which we should have because of all He's done for us, should compel us to demonstrate that love in practical ways. We're just going to look at a few of those here in a moment. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul states that the love of or for Christ compelled him to minister to the saints. Who are the saints? Well, there's believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did Paul endure what he endured? Because of the love of Christ. See, the love of Christ compelled him. It wasn't Paul's love for Christ that compelled him, although I'm sure that was a little part of it. It was Christ's great love for Paul that compelled him to love and serve the children of God. And you know, the love of Christ or for Christ should compel us to love in practical ways. And just let me share with you some practical ways you can do this. And I hope you're doing them. But if not, remember what was our text? And that's true of all these things so far. Perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Well, we can show practical faith this way. You can share the gospel. I don't care how young or old you are, you can share the gospel. Just tell them what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. There's no big outline of things you have to follow to share the gospel. You know the gospel if you're a child of God. You've been saved by the gospel. Well, if you have really love for the Lord's people or and other people, share the gospel with them. Use your spiritual gift. And I know what some of you are probably thinking, you know, I used to do that, but you know, I really can't do that very well anymore. Well, I think we should be reminded, as long as we have breath, we're to serve the Lord. Our sphere of service may change, but we should always be serving the Lord. And we do it in a practical way, and you use what gifts the Lord has given you. It's unfortunate that so many of the Lord's people don't even know what their spiritual gifts are, let alone use them. But we have to use our spiritual gifts. Also, reach out to one another physically. See, for those of you who are physically able, you help those who are not physically able. Just do it. We can all do that. You reach out in a little tougher way, and that's emotionally. I used to be a high school counselor, and I used to have to deal with people who were going through deep emotional stress and things. Oh, it's much easier for me to do something physically, yet not as much as it used to be, but I still can do things physically. It's easier to tackle those tasks because, you know, I'm more comfortable with that. But, you know, to deal with people emotionally, and if there are people who are just crying out, they need someone to sit and just talk to. And share. And you can sit down with God's Word and let the Spirit of God lead and guide and direct you into the passages that may be a help or encouragement to those who are struggling emotionally. And then you can help people spiritually. I think that's one of the biggest lacks amongst Christians today. We all struggle spiritually at times. I used to have a real dear friend by the name of Don Keefe. And him and I used to help each other every once in a while. We'd have to sit each other down and say, I'd say to Don, sit down, we have to talk. There's something going on in your life right now that is not having a positive effect in your spiritual life. And we'd pray about it. And afterwards he'd shake my hand, thanks Bob, I needed that. A few weeks later, Bob, sit down, I've got to talk. There's something in your life right now that's going to affect your ministry if you don't deal with it. And we prayed about it. You see, we have to understand, we're not always all strong spiritually every moment of our life. If you see somebody around you who is struggling spiritually, well, what we like to do is say, well, stay away from them, you know. No. Get a hold of them. You know, you come with God's Word, their prayerful spirit, relying on the Spirit of God to lead you and guide you and direct you. To bring this person back into a strong spiritual relationship with the Lord. True faith in Christ is practical. Got to move on. Let somebody hold that hand on the clock beside you. True faith in Christ is victorious. True faith in Christ is victorious. Are you a victorious Christian? Do people understand that you have victory over sin, death, the grave, the evil one, the world? As you look around today, it's a mess, isn't it? But faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Somebody wrote a beautiful song about that. They got the message. Faith is victorious. 1 John 5:4. For whoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. What is the victory? even our faith. You see, true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a victorious faith. In Romans 8:37 it says, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Oh, He guarantees the victory. You're not going to win the victory in your own strength. But greater is He who is in you than he who is in this world. And whatever you're facing, conquest, you can have a victory. You can be triumphant in His power, in His might, not your own. He says, I place my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can have an overwhelming victory over this world, over sin, over the evil one, and even the grave. It's a marvelous thing to know that true faith in Christ is victorious. And the final one, I think we're going to make it, true faith in Christ is ever growing. Remember, what was our text? Perfect that which is lacking in your faith. You know, as we've gone through all of these seven, or six up to this point, I think we all have to be honest, there are times that we needed to perfect our faith in all of those areas at some time or another in our lives. And when we turned to the Lord, He gave us the victory. But you see, it has to keep growing. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, Paul thanked God because their faith was growing exceedingly. God uses many devices to enable our faith to grow. He uses trials. I'm sure you're familiar with trials. He uses testings. He uses the Holy Spirit of God to convict and work in our lives. He uses the Word of God. He uses all different devices so we may grow in our faith. Now, in what way is our faith to grow? Well, you know, we don't have much faith, let's be honest. In fact, how do I know that? Because, you know, how much faith did the disciples have? It was less than a grain of mustard seed. The Lord says, if you had even the faith of the grain of mustard seed, you could take this mountain and throw it in the river. You could pick up this tree, throw it in the river. Well, do you think your faith's any greater than the disciples? So when we say your faith has to grow, does that mean I go from 1% to 3% to 5% to 25% faith, 35% faith? No. You take that itty-bitty faith you have, and where's it to grow? In Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, every time you take your faith and place it in Him, your faith in Him will grow. And every time you see that, it will be that much easier for you to take this little faith you have, place it in Him, and let Him do His work in your life. I think, are we getting the message here? You know, God's goal for every child of God is to have their faith in Christ to be ever growing. Look back over your life. Has your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ grown since the day you accepted Him and He came into your life? I've been saved 64 years. I can see places where my faith has grown, but I can assure you there's still much more room for growth in my faith. Well, our time is gone, so let's bring this to a conclusion. These were the tests that we should apply to our faith. Is it restful, joyful, hopeful, loving, practical, victorious, and growing? What was our text? Perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And what was the question we were to ask about every one of those tests? Is God's will my will in those areas of faith? May the Lord help us to truly exercise our faith in Him. He'll never let us down. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts. Shall we pray? Our gracious God and dear Heavenly Father, We truly do thank you and praise you again for our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great and powerful and wonderful and loving God he is. We're so thankful that for every child of God, your divine nature has been imparted to us. We have everything we need within us to live a godly life. May we learn to just trust in the Lord with all our heart, to lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways and all the things that come into our lives, may we acknowledge thee, knowing that you will direct our paths in according to your good, your perfect, and acceptable will. We just thank you for each one that's out here tonight. We commit them all to your care and keeping, this working through our hearts and lives to your name's honor and glory. We ask these things and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.